All right, back to it. We're here till 3:30. Xander and Hanley, then we're up against White Sox week. Dylan Cease on the mound for the White Sox today, giving us a fighting chance. We just have to keep hitting those home runs. All right, Brian, we were talking before the break about the art of keeping the calories up for an O-lineman. And there are a lot of people in Hollywood that have to, you know, eat differently, increase their eating for a role and everything. And that just seems crazy because, again, on the other side of that, you have to lose it. But for an O-lineman, you know what, there are strict things that you have to do to kind of keep up that size, right?
Yeah. I mean, so Ted Karras is 315 pounds, center for the Bengals. And during training camp, they would practice at 2 p.m. every afternoon. Mm-hmm. So he didn't want to feel overly full going into practice. That could get a little messy too, I guess. So he would eat most of his calories, 6,000 calories a day, he estimates.
6,000
calories. After 4 p.m., after practice, right? His.com was...
Now, for a normal person, remind me, maybe you don't know, it's like 2,000, right? Or under 2,000,
right?
Something
take,
like that?
Yeah. Yeah, and you and I both shed some weight during our last couple of years, right?
Uh-huh.
I don't know that I come close to 2,000 a day anymore, but... But you could without even trying. 6,000, you got to work at it, right? So he said, the name of the game is calorie consumption. I don't pay much attention to what it is. I just consume it. I eat high-calorie-dense food with volume and frequency.
Well, I hope it has taste.
Oh, it does. So he says he eats at least 4 meals a day plus snacks. The key to his routine, most of his food consumption comes after practice. And here you go. So in the morning, which he considers before practice, mm-hmm. he'll have a fruit smoothie. 10 bottles of water, which I guess you allow some time to go to the restroom. Gatorade with salt added because he's going to sweat a lot during practice, right? Gallon of water before weigh-in. Two extra large...
Wait. Hold on. We have 10 bottles of water.
Yes.
And then a gallon of water all before 2 p.m.
And a Gatorade with salt added.
And a Gatorade.
I'm sure it's not all Gatorade either, right?
So... Why not just stay in the bathroom? I don't know how you leave the bathroom.
You can't. Coaches probably frown on that. Then after the gallon of water and before practice, two extra large Uncrustables, which I had to look up because, I mean.
Oh, I know what those are. I have, my kids are in their 20s, but they've been around a while. Jake, you used to eat those as a kid?
Oh, I didn't like those. I would just rather make it myself.
Around.
But
yeah,
they were around, yeah.
It was for
around.
Extremely lazy
snack.
People.
Yeah.
They're Smuckers, right? I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
like peanut butter and jelly. It's peanut butter and honey.
Right.
Chocolate and chocolate. I mean, if you're, then he would have.
I didn't know they still made those.
A drip drop electrolyte powder packet with water, more water. So after practice, he gets serious. But a steak and pasta in the team cafeteria, a snack, usually a protein shake, another gallon of water, more Gatorade with salt added. Another drip-drop electrolyte powder packet with water. Final meal before leaving the facility. He's smart to let the team pay for his food. Popular options are...
Do we know how much time
Philly
in between?
Or pasta.
Yeah, this is really confusing me.
Like at home, before bed, okay. More Uncrustables or a frozen pizza. He eats a frozen pizza before he goes to bed, and of course, more water.
Ooh. You see if he can pull that off in his 50s.
You're not supposed to eat like
no.
Right
this
you
is
go to
what
bed,
I'm saying. You look. We've all you on the road. As long as you are on the road, having to probably eat late or something like that, you can't. You know, into your 40s and 50s. You know, he's young. And he's got his career to think of. But, boy, I'll tell you, that does not work well practically in your 50s.
Yeah, you're not supposed to eat, like, a pizza right before you go to bed.
Not even really supposed to eat anything before you go to bed.
Right. Yeah.
But those two meals we were talking about, he said it was the steak and pasta. And then what followed that? And I'm wondering how much.
Before he leaves the facility, he'll have maybe a Philly cheesesteak or more pasta at the facility.
So it's probably a close amount of time he's consuming all of that.
Right.
Wow.
So, good Lord. I mean, and then a couple of Alka-Seltzer and you call it a day, right?
Well, at that age, maybe you don't need it.
Back at that age, I'd be going out to get my drink on.
Well, the thing to do in the Southwest suburbs, and I'm sure it's like that all over the place, but you know, growing up in being of drinking age in the 80s. Well, allegedly I was. But anyway, you know, going out and drinking and then going to a burrito place on 63rd in California and having the big burrito that's as big as your head, and being able to eat it at 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then waking up a couple hours later to go to work or, you know, whatever. You know, that was just a matter of course at 22 years old.
Yeah, cast iron stomach.
Didn't feel a thing. Didn't bother me at all. Didn't feel a thing. No problem.
I don't know if this is one of the reasons I went to Marquette, but in Wisconsin, the drinking age was 18 for everything. I think down here in Illinois at the time, it might have been 19 for beer and wine. But you couldn't have order any hard stuff in a bar if you weren't 21, right? Which made the trips back to Chicago few and far between.
Sure it did.
When
I was growing up, everybody would shoot to the border. Mm-hmm. There was a bar called Rocket North. Do you remember that bar?
No.
On the border that everybody would flock to.
Yeah, see, that's dangerous because now you're traveling to and from.
Well,
right?
that is why Illinois fought it and it eventually closed. But if anybody remembers that, if you want to jump on, I remember that being a thing. I never made it up there, but I had tons of friends that would go up because they could drink and then come back home.
Yeah, and you know, Marquette had about a two block stretch of places you could get burritos and bars.
Was that Water Street?
No, it was Wells Street.
Okay. Yep.
And Water Street became more of a downtown thing, but on the Marquette campus, right, you know, just on the northern edge of the campus. So as an 18-year-old freshman, you know, we pretty much set up a home-based bar as a freshman. Then we switched to another bar sophomore year, and then we tried. And that became our place. Like, mm-hmm. you know, everybody knew your name. You know, you're going in there, cheers. And then senior year, we had a different bar. But
did you ever hang out at Rosie's?
No.
Okay.
No.
It was a famous place on water.
Water. The Avalanche. I could tell you stories about the Avalanche. Oh, boy. And O'Donohue's was our senior year bar. I don't think the gym might have been sophomore year. But anyway. As an 18-year-old who might have been drinking a few years before that, that was an appeal to being at a that allowed you legally to drink after you went to class. So, you little leaguers don't do that out there, though.
No, not recommended. Yeah. But you know what? If you're of a certain age, that was just the way you did it. And that's what I'm talking about is, you know, hanging out at different places, whether at house parties or whatever, and going to get the big burrito and having the cast iron stomach. Well, and hearing what this guy goes through daily, did it say it? That's a 7-day, they can't be a 7-day a week thing, right? Does he give himself a break on Sunday and just have water?
I think he's just having, Nutrisystems on Sunday. I don't know. But, you know, one thing about in Milwaukee, their real chili would have been like the equivalent of a greasy dive where you went in after the bars closed, right?
Sure, yeah.
And so as much as I said you shouldn't have a frozen pizza before bed, pretty much 3 or 4 times a week having a big bowl of chili with cheese and onions and everything at 2 a.m. probably wasn't a good idea either, even at 18 or 19.
Well, we live to tell about it. Jake, yes. Did you have any of that? Growing, in your late teens, hitting some house parties and going to get some big, ridiculous meal you shouldn't be eating before you go to bed?
See, I was smart. I knew how to drive home, so I would like...
Yeah, your generation was much smarter than me.
I would have like one, and then I would wait, whatever, 2-3 hours later, then go out and get food and like, you know, nothing to set me off at all.
You know, and I appreciate the reminder that your generation seems to be so much smarter than ours. We're lucky to be here. Some of the stuff that we've done, I would imagine Brian would feel the same way.
Absolutely. No doubt about it.
Just ridiculous.
Yeah. One of my friends decided he had to uproot a parking meter in near the campus, and he put it outside of Real Chili when we went in to eat. And then he was upset when someone took the parking meter while we were in eating. He thought someone would just leave that. He was going to put it in the dorm room. He thought that'd be cool.
Well, but somebody stole it from him. He stole it.
Yeah. And there's money in there, by the way. They'd probably frown on it. I don't know what you'd be charged with exactly on that. But that was stupid stuff. He was a big guy and he was able to get it out of the concrete. It's like, where are you going with that?
Talking about stupid stuff, and then we've got a hit break, and we'll wrap up the Twitter poll and get to White Sox Weekly. Real quick, what we used to do when we go to concerts and we would have too many beers, we would get a bunch of other people and start picking up cars and moving them sideways in parking spots.
Sure. There's cow tipping, and then there's just car moving.
We literally picked up a 1975 Delta 88, which is huge car.
Yeah.
And we moved it to somewhere that poor person, never intended to park it.
How far did you move it?
Into the trees.
Oh, for love of it. Wow.
I'm telling you, we're lucky to be alive.
I know, right?
We're lucky to be alive. All right, we're back after this. We'll wrap up the Twitter polls and get you ready for White Sox Weekly and cover any other loose ends here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago.
This is Xander and Hanley on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
ESPN 1000, your home for Chicago White Sox baseball. First pitch, 6:15. Dylan Cease on the mound for the White Sox. Tyler Molly on for the Twins. Building on last night's exciting, weird victory, Brian. That would certainly help.
Yeah, and, speaking of pitchers, you said Stoney went off on pitching things when they're the pitcher, and using your pitching hand, and you alluded to
punching things and cutting yourself and doing things you shouldn't be doing with your moneymaker.
You alluded to Zach Plesac, right?
Yes.
And what he did. They think he might be out just for as short as a week, but they're not sure. But they did trace it back to him punching the mound after a bad inning.
Oh, it was
inning.
A mound punch. Okay. I thought he punched something in the dugout.
No, he did it on the mound. And either way, he ended up with a fractured hand.
And that's what Lopez did last night.
Yeah, and this is not the first time he's had an issue with this. So they placed him on IL. He's got a broken pitching hand. He told Tony Francona told the reporters that his right palm was swollen and that the team believes the injury occurred when he punched the mound after a long home run to the Mariners' Jake Lamb last Saturday. Best case scenario is he's out. He puts in a splint and he misses a week, but I would guess probably longer than that. But it's the second year that he had an odd hand injury. Last May, he broke his right thumb while ripping off his shirt after a tough outing.
Oh, wait a minute. I remember that.
Man, he caught it on a chair in the locker room. I mean, and didn't they send him home from Chicago because he was out partying during the COVID restrictions?
Yes. Yes, he got in trouble for that, too.
I think he told a fib. He said, no, that wasn't me. And they made him drive home, or they had someone drive him home. They wouldn't let him on the plane, right? Because right. He'd been out at a bar or something.
Yep.
When the team was under, quarantine and told. So Zach's had a little bit of a role here in the last couple of seasons.
Well, he has, I don't have the information in front of me, but when we see the Guardians again, if Zach isn't on top of his game, that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's 3-11 with a 4.39 ERA and 23 starts, and he's, they still depend upon him, so
right.
that be what it is. But you got to be smarter than that when you're on any time, but when your team's in first place, they need you, even if the numbers say maybe not. They do need you.
It was really ironic on the broadcast last night. Steve Stone, for another reason, brought up Plesac and what happened to him. And then at the end of the game, Lopez punches the mound, too.
Yeah.
Probably in the exact same way. There's another way to do it. What happened to the art of kicking the water cooler in the dugout?
Yeah, rip the phone. They don't have phones. Bullpen phone. Just rip that off the wall.
Right.
And Carlos Zambrano, he would take the Gatorade jug and be throwing it, and I mean, you'd be screaming at Michael Barrett, who'd be pointing at the scoreboard like, "Hey, that's on you. Those 8 runs, that's what you did." I mean,
he had a temper. He was fun to watch.
Yeah, I would be going for the double bubble gum bucket and tossing that around.
Yeah,
you have so many pieces of those, just toss it on the field.
I know, it's that big tray, right, with all the buckets in it. You just throw it,
and that's not hurting anybody.
No.
Here comes some sunflower seeds your way. Okay, duck.
We've got a couple polls that we want to wrap up here at ESPN 1000 on Twitter. The first one is all about baseball. Now, we're excited to a certain degree. If you're a White Sox fan, certainly past three games. Yep, okay. All right. You know, what does this mean? It's all so confusing. You were so bad for so long and not hitting home runs, and now we're starting to see home runs and some passion, some fire. So FanDuel, current odds to win the division, okay, as of today, which team are you betting? Now, Cleveland's at minus 135. Minnesota's at plus 210. Now, remember, Minnesota was on top of the division for a long time. Then the Guardians. And Minnesota's having a hard time catching the Guardians as well. And the White Sox are chasing them both. White Sox are at plus 410. So, Jake, what does that one look like?
Yeah, so we have Cleveland at minus 135 at 43.1%. So people are still trusting Cleveland here. But at 34%, the White Sox at plus 410.
Boy, that changed in the last hour because midway through the show I looked and the White Sox fan base was voting for the hometown heroes, and they were like 40% to like 20 and 30 or whatever it was. I mean, they were leading, but smart money? I don't know.
Fan money isn't always smart money, right?
Right.
But when you lay down a bet, I mean, depending on how much you bet, I guess if you were to tell everybody they had to lay down $100 or, you know, $500, whatever that amount would have been, where would it be? But I guess these numbers are based on a $100 bet, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You'd have to lay, what, 135 to win 100 for the favorites. And you lay 100, you get 410 back if the Sox were to defy the odds and win the division if you bet today.
Yeah. Maybe the safe bet would be Minnesota to win the money, to actually win some money.
Yeah.
Okay. And value. Yeah. All right. And FanDuel current odds to win the Super Bowl. Which team would you bet? Buffalo's at plus 600. Tampa Bay's at plus 750. Kansas City's at plus 1,000 or other. Before we get the votes on that, what are you guys thinking? Brian, what would you do?
You know, I'd probably go Kansas City, but I don't know the whole Tom Brady, you know, retired, Giselle happy, unhappy, Giselle going back to work. Tom's got to be a better stay-at-home dad, and she's upset that he's unretired. He said there's a lot of bleep going on, and, you know, when you're his age, there's a lot of, you know, I don't know how this impacts, if at all, his season, but it's kind of drama you don't need for the GOAT.
Yeah, I'm not even looking at Tampa Bay, to be honest with you, for that exact same reason. I mean, for the first time, we've seen life and his age on his face.
Yep, absolutely. And Giselle's going back and doing photo shoots. She's like, okay, if you can go to work, I can go to work. Someone else, the three kids, you know, someone else can have to carpool.
And just like that, their whole life always seems so idyllic, right?
Yep.
It just seems so wonderful. Everybody, I mean, she's a beautiful model. He's this superstar athlete. They've got the perfect family, the perfect situation. Now it just seems to be unraveling in front of our eyes.
And I, you know, I think Green Bay comes in at like plus 1,100. So they're right there, fourth or fifth. And so those are the top three teams. And there's probably another, you know, the Rams are going to be in there. You know, I don't know. Some people like the four. Garoppolo's now backing up.
I like the Chargers up there.
Yeah, Chargers, yeah.
All right, how about you, Jake?
I would say other, with the belief of, like, knowing that you have the Rams still up there, the Chargers. I mean, second would be for me Buffalo, knowing how complete they are as well. And obviously them giving us one of the best games at the end of the season.
Yeah, I want to believe
Buffalo,
in
Buffalo,
though. Yeah,
so.
No, see, and same thing. I've got to go other, too, because I want to trust Buffalo, but I'm not really there. How's the poll look from listeners?
So I think they are favoriting us because it's a split. Actually, just changed. Buffalo now leading plus 600, 33.6%, and then other. Now it's 34.4% other, 33.6%.
It's Buffalo. Like a stock ticker.
Yeah, right. It's like the telethon for Jerry Lewis. Let's turn those numbers over.
I'm here all day, guys.
Are you done now, or are you going to be here for another 12 hours?
I am going to go relax with those mimosas now.
Okay. He's got a bag of mimosas right there waiting for him.
That Peggy and Dion brought
Yeah, Dion brought me from all the way from Football Fest. They surprised me, and I got a full bottle. Oh.
Yeah, I think you started drinking already.
Yeah.
You hit a button.
See, it just went off. Now the thing just went off on us. But yeah, they're trying to kick us out.
Okay.
You know, you should have refrigerated that orange juice. You should have ran that upstairs.
Yeah, but there's not a refrigerator down here. Yeah, I know. That's the thing.
Well, you got a lot of pull here. Why don't you just make sure we get that done?
You got chewing gum in the restroom, but you don't have a refrigerator. Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah, well, hey, step by step. Just like the White Sox, right?
Bring that up to Zetterman and see where that goes. Yeah.
Jake, you do that. I'm not doing that. You do that. You're the producer. All right, so we're just about time to go to Connor for White Sox Weekly here on ESPN 1000. Again, the White Sox first pitch, 6:15. Dylan Cease on the mound, and we have the lineup. Connor's going to give all that to you and rewind what happened last night. Such an interesting set of circumstances that led to a very emotional win for the White Sox. Hopefully they can build on that. Today's game, and Brian, we'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. We'll cover what happened with the White Sox tonight and take your calls. It'll be another fun couple of hours plus 30 minutes. All right, we'll do that. We'll do that tomorrow.
It's a plan.
We'll see you then. And Jake, thanks for running the show. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports is the home of Xander and Hanley. More's on the way on ESPN Chicago.